Alrighty. So, yes, I just wanted to, so we were just finishing up with the Ava and Yira, right? So, I'm not sure who was attending last week because I was, but do I have some of the...
Whatever it is, I listened to it anyway.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay. I listened to whatever
right. Yeah, I think you were, yeah. But the thing is, I guess just to briefly summarize, we had a question because the Rambam said that, and the Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos, he says that Ava means where a person is engaged in a positive mitzvos, because that's the idea of Ava, that a person loves something, he moves towards something. He's involved in an active process. So that's the mitzvah sosei. And Yira, which is also a mitzvah in the Torah, the Rambam says is primarily in the area of lo saseis, because that's when a person refrains and prevents himself from doing something that's usually out of Yira. So he says the lo saseis is the area of the mitzvah of Yira. Okay, but then we asked a question because in the Yalei Chazaka, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that Yira is a bad thing. That Yira is something that only the uneducated are engaged in, and they keep the mitzvahs out of fear. But really, a person should teach these individuals and show them the true idea so that they could serve from Ava. So that would seem to indicate that Yira is frowned upon and Ava is the correct thing. But over here, the Rambam seems to say that that they're both necessary components in the correct derech. Okay, so that was one problem. Then the other problem was that in the Mishnah Torah itself, the Rambam says that very few people, even great chachamim, very few people could serve God may Ava. Says that was the level of Avram Avinu. Okay. But most people cannot reach that level, even Grei Chachamim, right? And that's in the last parak of Hilchos Tshuva. But then in Halacha Hey, the Rambam says that if Amei Haaretz keep the Torah out of Yira, you should teach them and show them slowly the correct derech and the correct the true ideas, so that they will be Ovei Me'ava. So in the Halacha Hey, the Rambam seems to say that no, Ava is, just show that there's nothing to be afraid of. Show him that this is a great system, and this is very beneficial to him. And if he keeps it, he'll have a very good life, and then he'll serve me Ava. So what's the Rambam talking in Halacha Beis that very few people could reach that level, and even great Chachamim didn't reach the level. It seems that he's contradicting himself three halachas later. I mean, Vashalom. Right?
Very, very not good short-term memory.
No, yes. I mean, come on. Right? So we said that he's using the term Ava really has two meanings. Okay? One meaning is Ava means having the correct value system. If a person serves from Yira, it means that he doesn't really see the value of Torah, and he's doing it because there's a gun to his head, so he has to do it. But really, he doesn't think it's a good thing. So he has a false value system. He doesn't have the true... He doesn't recognize the true worth of the mitzvahs. So that, you can explain to a person. You show the person what the system is, and what the value is, and how enjoyable learning and keeping the mitzvahs is, and that it will give him a very good life, so that a person can understand. Now that's a question of the correct value system, you see. But then the Rambam says in Halacha Beis, when he's talking about very few people could reach the ultimate level, he's talking about a secondary thing. That even if a person has the correct value system, that's one thing. But how much he could implement it, that's a separate thing. Person could know the truth, know what is correct to do, but can he carry it out? That's already a different story. There, the person's emotions are at play, and his emotions may still be attached to the fantasies, to the old objects, not to the new value system. You see? So therefore, that's what the Rambam means, that just because a person has the true value system, that's one thing. But he still must employ self-control. Because having the true value system doesn't mean his emotions are become fixed to it. So if his emotions are not convinced, even if he's convinced, he must exercise self-restraint. And he must control himself. Okay? So who's the person, when he says me'ava, very few people reach that level. He is talking about the level where a person does not have to exert self-control. He simply does not want anything else. His desire, he could follow all of his desires naturally. Because all of his desires are only for the good. Okay? So that is a very rare thing. That's a rare thing. Because a person's human, and he has conflicts. He doesn't naturally want to do the good all the time. So the Rambam says that's a very rare individual that does never has to control himself. He simply does not desire what is bad. And all of his desires are for the good. So he has no internal conflict, and he's... So we get an example, like Yosef HaTzadik. The Rav said that did not desire evil. He had no desire for it. He simply was, his whole desire in life was the good. Okay? So he says, a person like that doesn't even understand what sin is. To him, it's just simply an absurd thing. He can't even imagine being tempted by sin. Okay? Yeah?
But doesn't a person naturally just have desires? What would that mean? They don't understand. Like, don't they understand what a desire is, what an emotion is?
Well, it means that all of their enjoyments are realistic. You see, a person has physical desires and physical enjoyments, you see, but it's all realistic. There is no fantasy that tempts him. He simply is not tempted by something that is ridiculous, that the mind does not apprehend. You see, but the average person is tempted by things that emanate from his, by ideas that emanate from his emotions, ideas that have no basis in reality. He's tempted by those ideas. You see, but the person that's really, the person that's oev me'ava, it means there's nothing unrealistic that tempts him. He's only tempted by what's real. What's real, he's very interested. And it means real in terms of enjoyments, in terms of emotions, in both frameworks, in the intellectual and in the emotional. But his attachment is to what's real. Okay, and as long as a person is attached to things that are real, that's it. There's nothing he has to be afraid of. Nothing he has to watch himself over. Okay? So that's the thing. So that's what the Rambam, that's the idea in the Rambam. So that's why the Rambam says that when it comes to mitzvahs aseh, there you're more utilizing the part of your nature which is seeking enjoyment, which is seeking the good, seeking happiness. That's where the aseh's are. A person involves himself in learning, mitzvos. These are things, when a person's looking for things that will help him, to benefit him, that's the area that he goes in the essays, you see. But the part of man that exerts self-control, that he has to protect himself from going off the path, that's the area of the los essays. Person keeps away from evil, that's yira. It means there's a fear. If I do this, what's going to happen to me? You see, I'll go off the track. That's the area of, when he says fear, he means the part of the mind that exerts self-control, that stops you. It says, hey, slow down. You see, the self-restraint, that's the area of the los aseis, because that's what los aseis do. They protect you from the harm. Okay?
Yeah. And Mark, what about, the Rambam has a description of Avin Yira in, like, the second paragraph of the Torah?
Right.
It sounds like a different thing, though, what you're saying now. It's saying, like, it's just like when you amass a certain amount of chachma, you just, like, have this, like, great feeling.
That's right.
And he describes the year there, too. Like, you also, like, fear at that same moment.
Right. That's right. So that's what I wanted to bring up. Happy brother. Okay. So, yeah, that's a very good question, right? Because over here, the Rambam saying that in both cases, the Rambam says there are two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Yira and a mitzvah of Ava. But the Rambam categorizes the mitzvah differently here in the Mishnah, in the Pirshei Mishnayos, and in the Mishnah Torah, he has a totally different categorization of the mitzvah. Okay? So let's just see if we could understand what the difference is. Okay? So what does he say in the second parak in the Mishnah Torah, right? So the Rambam describes Av and Yira as being really two states that emerge from apprehension of knowledge. Right? That's what the Rambam says. When a person apprehends knowledge, sees the Chachmas Hashem, so he has two reactions. Okay? One reaction is Ava, where he has a tremendous desire and an enjoyment and a love of the knowledge. Right? And the other reaction is the reaction of Yira, that he recognizes his own lowness, right, and smallness, and how great the whole system of reality and God is. Okay, so he recognizes his own frailty. That's Yira. There are two reactions to Chachma. Okay, so the Rambam says those are the two. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Ava is the reaction of enjoyment and appreciation of the Chachma, and the reaction of Yira is when the person has a recognition of his own position vis-a-vis the world, the universe. Okay? So that's one. That's the way the Rambam learnt in the Yad. Okay? That it's two reactions to one activity. Right? You have the activity of Limud, and this Limud causes two reactions. Okay, so over there the mitzvah is the reaction to the maisa. How does the Rambam have in the Pirshei Mishnayos? If you're gonna define it, how does it work in the Pirshei Mishnayos? What's he saying there?
It's the other way around. Those two reactions will drive your maisa. The reaction, let's say you have these reactions.
Good.
Then if you have the reaction of Ava, then it'll drive you to do the mitzvah saseh.
Okay.
If you have the reaction of Yira, then that's the part that's going to drive you to stay away from the low saseh.
Okay, good. In other words, in the Pirshei, well, that's one difference. In other words, in the Pirshei Mishnayos, there are two separate actions. The Ava has to do with mitzvah saseh, right? And Yira has to do with lo saseh's. Okay? In other words, in the Pirshei Mishnayos, he's saying there are two parts. It's not the same idea, really, of Yira. It's not the reaction to Chachma. Because in the Pirshei Mishnayos, he's saying that either person has two parts to his nature. The enjoyment-seeking part and the restraint part, right? And the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah is to utilize both these components. That the happiness-seeking part of man should engage him in asays, and the restraint part should engage him in los asays. Right? That's how the Rambam has it in the Pirshei Mishnayos, that there are two different components in man, and these two components should cause him to act through two separate realms of action. One realm of action is aseh, and one realm of action is los aseh. Okay? So in the Pirshei Mishnayos, really there are two activities, two meisim that correspond to each mitzvah. But in the yad, it's two mitzvahs really with one meisah. There's only one meisah. Talmud Torah. Right? So that's why in the yad, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, really, I mean, what's the machlokas? I mean, the Ram apparently formulated it, changed his formulation totally. Because in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the formulation is totally different. It has nothing to do with Talmud Torah, with the action of Talmud Torah. It has to do with keeping mitzvos, keeping the system. How a person should keep the system. Right? But the thing is that in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he apparently held that you can't have, for one maisa, you can't have two mitzvahs. You can't have, do one action and tell me that because there are two results, it's two separate mitzvahs.
How do you deduce that?
Because, I mean, we don't know for sure, but the thing is, what's the difference between the way he formulated the Pirush HaMishnayos and the Yad HaChazaka? What is lacking in one over the other?
Talking about two totally different things.
Yeah, can you say that?
What's that?
Can you say he's talking about two different things?
In the Yad, he's telling you that if you do Talmud Torah, then you'll react with Ava and Yira.
Right, and he maintains that's the mitzvah.
Right.
But in the
so then, if you have this Ava and Yira that you get through Talmud Torah, then you'll be able to keep the mitzvah sase and the mitzvah son sase.
No, that's a totally. In other words,
same
in the Yad,
the mitzvah
Yeah. In other words, he's saying in the Yad, the mitzvah is, has nothing to do with ases and los ases. The mitzvah is to attain this state of awe and this state of enjoyment. That's the mitzvah. That's it. You get to the mitzvah.
That has nothing to do with keeping.
Nothing to do with ases and los ases. He doesn't mention ases and los ases at all.
Right. Okay, so they have nothing to do with each other.
That's right. Okay. So the question is, how do you categorize? You have two mitzvahs, Ava and Yira. How do you categorize these? Right? Mm-hmm. What are the mitzvahs? So he's it's a totally different formulation. One formulation he has in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he's not learning like the Yad. The Yad is arguing with the Pirush HaMishnayos.
Where do you see that the Pirush HaMishnayos is talking about Kiyum mitzvahs?
Yeah,
he has it like that in the Mora too.
And the Mora has it that way also.
Yeah, I think so.
Where is it?
Can you just say that she's talking about two different things from the Yad and from the Pirush HaMishnayos? Meaning the Pirush HaMishnayos in the Yad, let's say it's easy. In the Yad, he's talking about the mitzvos of Yiran Ava. So that's a defined thing that comes out from one action, that's Talmud Torah. You have two different reactions. Those are two different mitzvos. The reactions are two different mitzvos.
Right.
But maybe we could say that in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he's not talking about mitzvos. He's talking about a man's function. Like, how does man function? So he functions in terms of Yira and in terms of Ava.
Okay.
So when he talks about Ava as Hashem and Yira as Hashem, he's talking about functioning in regards to the mitzvah. Not looking at Ava and Yira as a mitzvah, but just looking in terms of function. So I mean, He's not categorizing.
He's not telling you what the mitzvah is.
Right. So he's not. It's not a machlokas on himself. He's just talking about something else.
In other words, he's saying in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he's not really giving you a definition of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
He's just giving like a philosophic type of explanation of two concepts, but not the. In other words, it's not halach. He's not talking halachically av and yira. He's talking philosophically av and yira.
Right.
Now, let's see. Maybe.
Where is it?
It's Vihi Mora Shemayim Aleichem. Right? So the Rambam says...
Which Mishnah is that?
Which Mishnah? It's the third Mishnah. It's the end of Antignus Ish Silvo.
Yeah? That's funny. He has it...
What does he say?
I think even different over here.
Okay. What does he say there?
He says, the two objects, love and fear of God, are acquired by two different means. The love is the result of the truths taught in the law, including the true knowledge of the existence of God, whilst fear of God is produced by the practices prescribed in the law.
It's
says it again.
The love is the result of the truths taught in the law, while fear of God is produced by the practices prescribed by the law.
Interesting.
Changes my law.
That's right.
I'm Rambam, keep it together.
Right. The love is a result of the knowledge. Okay, so that would be like the Mishnah Torah, right? The Yad HaChazaka. The love is a result of the knowledge. And the fear is produced by the mitzvos.
They keep
it. So then, he's got both. He said, okay, listen, I don't know which one it is. Interesting. Wow. He's got both there. He's got both there. Wow. This is a confusing situation. Wow.
Phrase clearly shows that fear of God is inculcated when we act in accordance with the positive and the negative precepts.
Interesting.
Wow. That is clearly against it.
That's clearly against it.
Yeah. Clearly.
I mean, the Ava part is not clearly against it, because the Ava part is like the Yad. That the Ava is produced by knowledge.
Right.
But the second thing, the Yira, is not like the Yad, and it's not like the Pirush Mishnayos.
Yeah. It's just... When you do mitzvahs,
positive and negative, that inculcates the yira.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The truths which the law teaches us, the knowledge of God's existence and unity, created in us the love of God. So that's like the yad.
That's right. That's like the yad, because
the truths
give you the love of God. That's
right. Chachma. So what does he say in the Yad is Yira? How does he describe the Yira?
The Yira, he says, is the reaction that you sense that you're very small.
Alright. Oh, it's a different reaction to the truth.
Different reaction.
Right.
Different reactions, yeah.
Well, this is also different than the love of God. He's saying Avas Hashem is really a type of knowledge, not a reaction to the knowledge.
What does he say? How does he say it?
He's saying, but the truths which the law teaches us, and then there's a dash, the knowledge of God's existence and unity, create in us love of God, as we have shown repeatedly.
Right, create in us love of God. It's a reaction to that knowledge.
Oh, I see. Yeah, but he's saying it's a reaction to... Oh.
To the knowledge, now you love God and you want to know it.
Oh, I see. Okay, that does follow. Okay. Wow.
Right, but the year he has different. And the year, the way he has the year, doesn't correspond really to the Pirush Mishnayos. Right. I mean, the only thing is, I understand what you're saying, that you're saying the Pirush Mishnayos, he's speaking philosophically. Okay? The only thing is, I mean, he does say ki kvar ba b'Torah ha-mitzvah b'yira.
Right, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. And then he quotes the same pasuk that he has in the Yad. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, right? I think it's the same pasuk. Yeah, he says hakel en nichba v'anor hazem mitzvah li'avo li'yira oso shenema v'havta es Hashem Elokecha. That's Ava. V'ne'emar es Hashem Elokecha Tira.
Then what does he say? And he explains it?
In the Yad?
The
Pirush Mishnayos. He doesn't, well, he says like this. Then he just says, V'amru ha-chachamim avod me ahava, avod me yira. You need both. V'amru ha-oev lo yishkach davar mimashat suva lasos, v'yare lo yasa davar mimashu huzer me asoso. Ki li yira mavo gadol b'mitzos losose.
Sounds like he's explaining the mitzvah. Wow, that's a problem. At a certain point, is that what you have to do to say that he changed his mind?
He could change his mind. There are cases where he understood the mitzvah one way in the Pirush Mishnayos because he wrote that first, and then the Yad he had a different formulation. It is possible.
But he didn't change it. He didn't go back to change it.
The Pirush Mishnayos. No, I don't think so. Because he did find. I mean, I know. I don't know of any. I don't really remember any cases, but I know there are cases where the Rambam has a different formulation in the Pirush Mishnayos than the Yad.
You're saying you definitely can't say that it means once you have the year in Ava, then you'll
do the year.
Then you'll refrain from flows.
I mean, the thing is, he doesn't seem to say that. I mean, you know, if you just read this, you'd say a person that's utilizing the emotion of fear is, that emotion is more instrumental when it comes to restraining yourself from Avera. And the emotion of love is more instrumental when you're engaging in positive activities. That's where love comes into the picture, the desire for the good. That's, it doesn't seem, and I'll tell you something else, I don't think you could say, see, I don't think that you could, there's in any way that you could learn the Pirush Mishnayos like the Yad. Because if you look at what he says right before, because the thing is that the Memra says you shouldn't serve God out of desire for reward, right? Which means, obviously, desire for reward or fear of punishment. I mean, that's the same kind of motive. You shouldn't serve God for that. But why should you serve God? Not for those motives, okay? But out of Ava, because you have an inherent truth, you recognize the truth, right? The correct value system. Okay. But now the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, he says a person should be oved me'ava, and he says like this. Ratza bazeh, shiyu ovdin me'ava, okay, kamo shaman peka sir mi sanhedrin. Then the Rambam says, ve'im kol zeh, and with all of this, lo petaran mina yira, don't neglect the yira. Okay, even though you're serving out of ava, and you might think, now you don't need the yira, because now you see the true value system, and you're going to naturally pursue the truth, and you're not going to want to stray off the course. He says, no. He says, the Amar, they said, ime yoschem ovdim me'ava lo tanichu hayira legamri. Don't drop the yira totally. In other words, the yira now you won't need as much, because the more a person sees the good, the less he has to control himself, because he sees it's good. He doesn't have to exert self-control in the same way as when he doesn't see anything, right? But the Rambam says, but don't think you could totally drop it, because that's a very high level where a person could just operate without any self-restraint and just naturally desire the good. Right? So you see, clearly, the Rambam's not talking about the year of Yad Chazaka, because what do you mean, don't drop that legomri? That's a good thing, that year. On the contrary, the year of Yad Chazaka is the correct, is the ultimate level.
Wouldn't it be funny that if he's talking about mitzvahs, there's even a havamina to drop a mitzvah?
Okay.
Right? Now, isn't
that's
that
right. Right.
Crazy? Not only that, but isn't it also weird that he's saying that there's a mitzvah to keep the mitzvos? Or to keep the lotase? Like, what? Isn't that one of his things in the beginning, that you can't have a mitzvah to keep the system? Like,
right, right. Okay. That's a good question. Right. So I was thinking about that. How could the Rambam say that the mitzvah of Ava is to keep the mitzvahs? What do you mean? that's the mitzvahs. And the year is not to do the losses. You're not allowed to do the losses. But I thought perhaps you could say that the mitzvah is to utilize the part of man that desires the good in doing the mitzvah. And as I could do the mitzvah out of fear, listen, this is a crazy system. I don't like it. I don't see any benefit. But well, what can I do? I don't want to receive a punishment. You see, then he'd be keeping the mitzvos, but he would not be Mekayim, the Asay of Ava, because it's not done for an inherent purpose. It's done because he has a gun to his head. Okay? And then also you wouldn't really have the mitzvah of Yira, because the mitzvah of Yira is that I'm refraining from Avera because a self-restraint, a rational self-restraint, not because of a crazy idea, but because I'm restraining myself because I see these Averas really will harm me. You see, I think that's how you could answer that. That it depends when you're motivated by the correct value system, then you're mekayim not only that mitzvah, but you're mekayim a separate mitzvah of being in line with the correct value system of Ava Yira. You know? That's what I thought. That's how you can answer that.
My hand. Was there a case where you rise above the need to do a mitzvah?
Right. So, that, you see, that is possible. Possibly you can utilize that to understand why the Rambam went from the Pirush HaMishnayos to the Yod. Because on one hand, the Yod has a difficulty that you have two mitzvahs with only one maisa. But on the other hand, the Pirush HaMishnayos has a difficulty that it's going to come out, if you learn the mitzvah that way, it will turn out that there will be some individuals that go beyond this mitzvah. Because the Rambam says there are certain individuals that just operate naturally. So how could you have a mitzvah that a person becomes obsolete? As a person reaches perfection, the mitzvah is obsolete. Can't do the mitzvah. Because he's not operating out of Yira. He only has Ava. Can't do the mitzvah.
Well, with that, wouldn't you have to say the formulation of the mitzvah is that it's the opposite of the Yad? That it's one mitzvah with two maisim? I mean, the only way to bypass a mitzvah is if there's a better doing of that mitzvah. So the only way to bypass the way of doing the mitzvah via Yira would be if Ava is like kind of part of the mitzvah of Yira. Meaning if it's one mitzvah. And like Ava is the best way to do it.
Two forms, meaning two forms of the same mitzvah.
Right. It's the opposite of the, it's the Torah, or whatever, converse, I'm trying to say. But it's the
saying.
Opposite of the Yah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it would have to be that way. Because how can you buy, you can't bypass a mitzvah. You can't just say like, okay, I'm good enough, I'm good, thank you.
Right. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, right, exactly. You can't do that. There's a system here.
I didn't hear what you said.
I think so.
Okay, I mean, it's possible. I mean,
yeah, the Rambam doesn't
say it, but it is a difficulty.
Right.
That is a difficulty.
Interesting. And then you got a whole new formulation in the Mora.
Yeah, in the Mora, yeah. So
but that is
yeah,
fun.
The Mora, right? The Mora is a totally different. Seems like.
Is he still talking? Do you want to see it? Is he still?
No, thanks. I think I've seen enough.
I wonder if he's still talking about the mitzvah.
He
might not.
Yeah.
But that makes a lot of sense, the difference between, the way you explain the difference between them.
Right. And I think that's what you, because I was worried, I was bothered with that problem also, that the it comes out, Avan Yira is just as says and Losa says. But I think you'd have to say that way. Okay? That you could do the Osays and Losa says and really not be Mekayim Avan Yira.
Interesting Rambam.
Right, and you would say when you're reading the Rambam, you would say it's philosophic. But I mean, if you look at the Rambam, it just, you know, he seems to say it's a mitzvah. Yeah. This is the mitzvah.
Yeah. That's pretty.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So, I just wanted to go into one further thing because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we could think about the. The Mara, what it means in the Mara. But I wanted to show you from Ramban. Uses this idea and explains. It really rounds out a very interesting concept that he explains with this. Okay, and the Ramban is in Yisro. Okay, it's Perek Chaf, Pasuk Ches. Okay, very interesting. Same idea, but very interesting application. Okay, he says like this: the Ramban is on the Pasuk Zachar, as Yom Shabbos the Kacho.
What?
It's Chaf Pasuk Ches. Okay, it's by the Aseres Hadibros. Zachar as Yom Shabbos the Kacho. So the Ramban says, he gives a few commentaries, a few pshatim, but then he says like this. He says. He says, "Ve'emes hu gamkein, ki midas zachor, ramzu b'mitzvas aseh." Sound familiar? Midas zachor, okay, is a reference to a mitzvas aseh. V'hu hayotze mi midas ha'ava, and the mitzvas aseh stem from the mida of ava. Okay, v'hu le midas harachanim. That's Midas Rachamim. Ki ha'osen mitzvos adonav, the one who does the mitzvos of his master, ahov lo, is loved by him, va'adonav marachim alav, and the master has rachmanis on him. Okay. Umidas shamor, because he's comparing, he's comparing Zachar v'shamor. Right? Because in Yisro it says Zachar, and in in Veschanan, it's Shamar. Okay, so he says. So what's the difference between Zachar and Shamar? Zachar is Mitzvah Saseh, okay, and Mitzvah Saseh stems from the Midah Va'ava. Okay, but then he says Midas Shamar, but Mitzvah Lo Saseh. But Shamar, be careful, watch. That is a reference to the Lo Saseh. Okay, because in Shabbos you have an Aseh and a Lo Saseh to keep Shabbos and don't break it. Okay, so Shamar is the Lo Saseh. V'hu l'midas ha-din, v'yotze mi-midas ha-yira. That stems from yira. Person, stay away. Okay, that's restraint. Ki ha-nishmar me'asos davar ha-ra, person that watches not to do a davar ha-ra be'enei adonav, yira also. He's afraid of him. Okay. U'lechein mitzvah ha-seh. Oh, nice about this. This is very interesting. He says, u'lechein mitzvah ha-seh. Gedola mi mitzvos lo saseh. New element, right? The Rambam never said which is greater. Just say you have two things, right? Fun comes along. Now, that is why mitzvos saseh is greater than the lo saseh. Okay, kamo she'ahava gedola me'yira. Just like ahava, love is greater than fear. Okay, ki hamakayim va'osa begufo uba mamono. Person that fulfills something with his self and is with his money, Ratzon Adonav, who gadol, he is greater, may hanishmar may asos harabeinav. That's greater than a person that is careful not to do what is rabeine Adonav. Okay. Ulechain, and therefore Amru, the Asi Aseva Dochi Losase. He says that's why the Torah says that an aseh is docheh lo saseh, because an aseh is greater, because it comes from ava, and the lo saseh is not as great. So therefore, an aseh is docheh lo saseh. Okay. Then he says like this: umibnei zeh. Okay, so very good. Says docheh lo saseh because of this. That's the philosophic reason behind that concept. Okay. But then he says like this. He says, "Umibnei zeh," and because of this also, "Yeah ha'onesh b'mitzvus lo saseh gadol va'osin bo din kegon malchus umisa ve'inosin bo din b'mitzvus saseh klal He says, and for this reason also, this is why the onesh for a los asay is greater than the asay. Because an asay, a person does not receive malchus. Okay? But a los asay, if a person violates los asay, he has a din, an onesh, malchus and misa. Right? So he says this explains that idea too. Why there's an onesh for a los asay but not for asay. So I don't say, I mean, I'm just saying on the surface, it doesn't really follow exactly, because he's explaining why the assay is greater than a well's assay.
No, isn't he going back to the premise? the mitzvah's assay stem from Ahava and Rachamim,
right.
And mitzvah's los assay stem from Midas HaDin.
Okay.
So when you're in the realm of Din, that's when the los assays are commanded, and that's when you'll be punished.
But why? If the assay is greater than the los assay, so why would you say that I'll get punished for violating a lesser? If the assays are greater. So if I don't keep an assay, I should say that is a worse calamity, because that's really the area of greatness. And a los assay, okay. But a los assay is not as significant as the essays. That's just the era. So I broke a los assay, okay. I mean, it sounds like he's going to say, look, assays is greater than los assay, because assay is av and los assay is only era. And that's why an assay is docha los assay. And then you say, and that's why what? That's why...
You're not asking a
lot. There's an onesh. What do you mean? Now that goes the other way. If you tell me, if you say that's why there's an onesh for a los assay, now you tell me why the los assay is more has more impact than an assay. You're not telling me why an assay has more impact. You're not explaining it. It should be phrased as a question. You should say ve'afa pikein. The onesh for a los assay is still greater than an assay. There's no onish, right? And why? Because of such and such a reason. But certainly, it's not the fact that the assay is greater than the los assay doesn't support this latter statement that the onish is only for a los assay. What do you mean? It's a separate point. Do you want to make a separate point? Fine, but it doesn't follow from what you said. No? I mean,
but it's a nice, like, philosophical question. It sounds funny that it comes out this way.
Right.
But it's not a logical problem, because the principle is that Midas HaDin gives forth to the world of Los Asseis, and Midas HaRachamim gives forth to Mitzvos Asse. So from those same two principles, so it's true that if you want to know which one is greater, then you'll say the Rachamim is better than Din, so you say the Mitzvos Asse are better. It's also true that there's no din if something that came for Rachamim.
Right. I'm just saying,
logically,
you're right. Mechanistically, right. You can work it out. Right.
So it's just funny.
But I'm just saying, it still sounds funny. I mean, why is that? I mean, if Rachamim is such an important thing, then shouldn't there be a din for that? I mean,
right. you can like give lip service to the fact that that is the mechanism that Los Asseis give forth in the realm of din. And assays to the realm of Ahava.
I didn't answer the question. Know that it's not a logical question.
It's just sounds funny.
Question.
You read the thing and you go,
yeah.
You expect
it's
he's going to say
a question. That's all. All
right, I guess.
It's not a logical problem.
It's not necessarily illogical, but I think we have to say something about it. I mean, we have to give some kind of explanation. Why should that be?
Couldn't you say because since the whole point of the onesh is to put you back on the right path, so for the mitzvahs to say, since they're so important, people won't really have such an issue with that. But for the lotah say, since they're saying it's not as great, it's a lesser kind of thing, so people might say, okay, forget this, I need to focus on this.
Take it lightly.
So the Torah was chamor with it.
Okay. That you could say, you could say that, you mean that would be something like a geder, because since a person is going to be light with it, he won't be careful. Okay, that's possible. That is possible.
What about the guy who does deviate from the mitzvahs asay?
From the mitzvahs asay?
Yeah.
Sorry, can't deal with these demons.
Right. What about a guy that does?
Right, that's the question.
Now listen.
Right.
Yeah. Right, right.
We can't assume that a guy's not going to deviate in one and not the other, so therefore put him back in line only in the mitzvahs asay.
Right, right, right.
You could say similarly that it just doesn't help. The whole point of the mitzvah sasei is for Ava.
Right.
So the punishment isn't going to help him get the Ava. Maybe he'll do the Maisa, but it's not right. The Ava. We'll bring him there anyway.
Right,
there's
okay.
No point in doing it.
Mm-hmm. The okay. Punish is associated with, like,
right.
Yura, basically.
I'm just saying, I'd like to explain, is there a logical difficulty? In other words, what seems to the mind not to be like an opposite, is this really opposite? Is it opposed? What he's saying? Now, is it inconsistent? Is there an inconsistency? I mean, you can answer, yeah, why you don't do it, but then it's a separate answer. We don't do it because you can't enforce it. Fine. But I'm just saying, it sounds like there's an inconsistency on the surface. I'd just like to understand, explain that, why it's not an inconsistency. See, what he's saying is really makes perfect logical sense, because he's saying like this: why is it that asay is docha los asay? Because exactly what we're saying, because what is the los asay really? The los asay, why does a guy restrain, why does a person have to restrain himself from having tremendous potential enjoyments? Right? All of these things that are also are tremendous on the surface, initially, is tremendous initial enjoyments. Stealing, all of these great, right? Why does a person restrain himself? Not for the sake of restraining himself. There's no, that would be ridiculous, just to restrain yourself. But the restraint is a means to place the person in a position where he could attain the perfection of the soul. But if a person restrains himself just for the sake of restraint, but then does nothing with it, right? He has a means, but there's no objective. He didn't reach the objective. The objective is the improvement of the soul. That occurs through activity, through Talmud Torah, through all of these things that draw a person in. You see? So that's what the Rambam says, that if a person is engaged in the asay, you see, he has the objective, so then the means becomes obsolete. At that moment, it would not make sense if I have an assay, if I'm faced with an assay and a los assay, that would be illogical to say, well, keep the means, but forsake the objective. Give up the objective for the means? That's crazy. The whole purpose for the means becomes obsolete, because the means is there in order to put you in a position to attain the end. But now the guy has the end. So it would be foolish, illogical, to give up the end for the means. That's an illogical impossibility. So therefore the Ramban says that where I'm engaged in an assay, the los assay has to fall off. Right? But now the question is like this: which is worse? If a person fails to do an assay, that's one problem, right? But now if a person does a los asay, the question is, how do you compare these two things separately? So there the Ramban says, the failure to do the los asay, doing the los asay is much worse than failure to do the asay. Because when I do a los asay, what is the los asay? It's a means to put me in the state to get perfection. Now I forsook the means. Now I have thwarted perfection. I've made perfection impossible. I need this as a base to get my perfection. Now I destroy the base. So everything is lost. That's the worst possible action. But if a person fails to do the assay, yeah, he didn't lose the base. The base he has. So now he failed in this particular. Okay, but tomorrow's another day. Cars on the day? It would be like if a guy, the purpose of the cars, a guy has a car, buys a car, purpose of the car is to drive him to work. Okay, so one day played hooky, you go to work. Fine. But if the guy destroys his car, I mean, that obviously, you can compare it, that the damage is much greater. Because the car is the means, now he lost his means. So if you're comparing the transgression, the losing the means is a greater destruction than failure to attain perfection. Because I still have the means. Once I lose the means, everything's lost. But say Dochalosa says, it's a totally different question. That means where I have the ends, should I forsake the end for the means? No, the means become obsolete. If I'm engaged in the end, the mean is obsolete. Yeah.
But can't you say the same thing for that? Meaning that, can't you just say the same thing, the same argument you gave for the punishment? Meaning that, it's like saying if I have a car so I could drive to work, so the work is the ends,
right.
The car is the means. So let's say today I could work from home. Or I destroy my car. Okay, so let my car get destroyed and I was working home. What about tomorrow? Like, what are you doing?
I understand what you're saying. But I'm just saying that the idea that he's showing is that the only value of the means is insofar as the end. So where is that expressed? In the situation of us, say, Dohalasasai. It means for that moment, the means became obsolete. You know what I mean? That's why the Torah has that phenomena, because the means is just there for the end. So it wouldn't make sense to give up the goal and retain the means. That doesn't make sense.
You're saying one against the other. This one's got to win out.
This one has to win out. Now, of course, in the practical sense, it means it's a concept. So it's employed in this in an isolated case. And I mean, in a practical sense, you're not going to say, well, that's it. Now you don't have to keep those things at all. That's not what it means. You still need the means. But it's expressing the idea that you don't give up the end for the means. That the means is simply there for the end. That's why, in terms of performance, this takes precedence. Where it's a choice between this and this, this has to take precedence. The essay, because that's the goal. You see? But if you ask me, I'm going to violate both of them. You see? Which does more damage? Oh, obviously, if I destroy the means, I'm destroying the means and the end. If I destroy the end, I still have the means. You know what I mean? So, but it's the same idea of the Rambam, but you see, it's a very nice application, nice explanation for Asei Docha Losa Sei. It's showing that idea.
So you're calling the actions the end.
That's the end.
You're engaging in something.
That's where the perfection is.
And the state that the Lotus has put you in, that's not perfection in itself?
That's not perfection. That's not perfection. Because if a person would just engage in that, refrain from everything, so what kind of a life is that? It's just a state of refrain.
Right.
It's, you know what I mean? It's a state you're protecting yourself from harm. Protecting yourself from harm creates a potential. But that itself is not perfection. Yeah, he hasn't been harmed. Okay, fine. Now he's ready to move. But perfection is where he improves his internal nature. Then he has to do something. He has to engage in the pursuit of happiness, of chachma. Then he could attain perfection. He improves his nature. Right? So that's the thing. So Sei Dochalos is showing that concept. Okay? But that's why he says it. And therefore, that's why, precisely why, an Onish is only in the Losase. Because that's, in terms of indispensability, that's indispensable. Without that, you can't move. Without the Assays, okay, you're not going forward, but you're still in a position to move. That you have. Alrighty.
Why is it better to not have onus shvarasis?
See, it doesn't say why you don't have an onus. You know what I mean? But this is a good question. I mean, why? I mean, you could have an onus for both. It's true. Losa say is more necessary for onus. But it's a good question. But why don't you have an onus for this too? You have an onus for both. So what would you say? What would you say?
Has it hurt
the onus for both? If I have an onshim for assays, we'll be wrong. So that would be that'd be further motive to propel the guy for perfection.
Maybe I guess you're kind of sacrificing the perfection you achieved from the essay. What's the person that's doing it from the fear of onish?
That's right.
You really end up missing out on.
That's right. All right. As you cannot, if a guy acts out of force, that's not perfection. That's not perfection, because the perfection is that he sees a thing that the part of him that's looking for enjoyment, that's looking for pleasure, that part of him is activated. Wow, this looks like fun. You see, if it's associated with an onus, that's not fun anymore. That is not fun. Right, that's why the average person looks at learning as a painful job, because it's associated with onus. See, that's the part of man, that's the negative part. That is not anything great a guy does. He doesn't do because of that part, the restricted part. He does because of the part that's seeking pleasure. That's really the part that he makes all of his great achievements based on, that part. Because that's the part that gets him going. You see, so if you want to motivate, if you ever want to motivate people, you got to do it with the prospect of pleasure, some kind of satisfaction. Motivation out of fear is very bad. It does not work too well. I mean, that's like the communist system. It's motivation out of fear. You're afraid of the government, you have to do certain things. You don't get too far, because nobody's running to do those things. But if a guy's running to work because he's looking for his paycheck, or he's looking for some kind of great reward, something positive that he seeks, that in his mind is going to be a tremendous enjoyment, you see, the guy wakes up at 5 in the morning. He's on the road and he's there till 10 at night. Can't wait to get to work the next morning, because he has an idea in his mind that he's going to receive some great benefit. Not because he's afraid of somebody. If he's afraid of the boss, if it's a fear of the boss, then the guy drags himself in at 9:30 and he leaves as soon as he's watching the clock all day. So that's the thing. You can have fear when it comes to losa says. But to motivate a guy by fear, not good.
Play basketball, I'm taking away your allowance.
Right, exactly. That's it.
Okay.
it sends the wrong message. Can't.
Yeah, even with that, even with a kid with sports, you punish him for not.
That's right, exactly.
He hated it.
Well, they say, I read about these guys, the tennis pros. They said they hate it. Their childhood was torture.
Yeah.
They're forced to play, and it's torture.
What's his name? Tiger Woods, too, I think, same thing.
It's
like really forced to play.
Forced to play,
yeah. But if you naturally like doing these things, yeah.
If a person does it naturally, then it's an enjoyment. Yeah. If he forced the guy to do it.
It's interesting, even that far.
It's amazing.
Like, if you would have done nothing, you would have liked it. Just do nothing.
Right. But I think that guy also Macaro.
No, Macaro, you hate it, right?
Hate it. And took drugs, and then you have guys that had to take drugs, all kinds of, because they hated it. Interesting.
Now they make money at the place, and now they like it.
That's what I'm doing.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. It's like school. It's like school for any kid.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. That's the. That's why you can't have an all. Right. So wonder about. So really. So maybe you don't have a proof that. What he's saying, that since it's a means, you have to have an onesh, because it's much right. It's much worse if I violate a law society, right? No, maybe because really you could have really they're equal, but you can't have an onesh for the says, right? Because that would defeat the says. Separate reason why you don't have an onesh.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't prove that assays are better because there's no onesh. That's his final point.
But he says the assay is greater, and that's why it's still the los assay, right? And for that reason, the los assay, since it's a means, for that reason, now there's an onesh because it's a means. You have to secure the means, right? But now you could say that no, really, there'd be an onesh for assays also, but it would defeat the essay.
Right, but isn't that further showing that the only reason why the onus would defeat the essay is because it's an end. We don't want to touch that. It's so important that we don't want to mess with that.
That's true. That's good. Yeah. Right. It stems from the same idea.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, very good. Okay. Tied up all the loose ends. Very good.
Except for that moment. There you go. What
more?
What?
The more. Yeah. We have to leave something for next year. Alrighty. So I just press this button again?
No, I just press the stop right on there.
That will erase everything we've done.
That will erase everything, exactly.
Stop is right here, the button.
No, the other one, on the other side. Opposite the play button.
Opposite the play button.
Towards me.
Towards you, this button?
Towards back.